For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good evening, everyone. I want to speak tonight about an old Zen story. It's case number 61 in the Blue Cliff Record. And I spoke about this a few years ago, around the time when we were getting ready to move or had moved to this new temple. So maybe several of you have heard me talk about it before, but I somehow felt like talking about it again. And so these old stories or koans are not riddles to solve. They're not nonsense. They're stories about awakening. And this one is particularly rich. And anyway, there's a lot in this. The basic story goes like this. A great teacher named Feng Shui was giving a talk, and he said, if you set up a single atom of dust, the nation flourishes. If you do not set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes. So that's the basic case, but Shui Do, who picked the cases and wrote first commentaries on all these stories, all these koans in the Book of Records, Shui Do raised his staff and said, are there any Zen practitioners who will live together and die together? So that's the case. I'll read it again. Feng Shui was giving a talk, and he said, if you set up a single atom of dust, the nation flourishes. If you do not set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes. Shui Do raised his staff and said, are there any patchwork of monks who will live together and die together? I want to talk about this story and how it relates to our practice. And maybe there'll be a little bit of time for discussion after. The commentary on the case itself, in this case of the Blue Cliff Record, is very rich. So a teacher named Yuan Wu, who was a great Rinzai master, wrote the introduction and commentaries to the case and the verse for this Blue Cliff, to make this Blue Cliff Record. I don't think I'm going to talk about the verse, but the commentary on the case talks about the context of the case. So he gives a longer version of the basic story. He says, as Feng Shui said to his assembly, if you set up a single atom of dust, the nation flourishes. And when he says an atom of dust, he means if you set up anything, if you try and establish something new, if you take something on, the nation flourishes. If you don't set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes. Then Yuan Wu says, tell me, is it right to set up an atom of dust, or is it right not to set up an atom of dust? When you get here, your great function must become manifest before you'll understand. So Feng Shui said, even if you can grasp it before it's spoken of, still this is remaining in the shell, wandering in limitation. Even if you thoroughly penetrate in a single phrase, you still won't avoid insane views on the way. So this is kind of the style of the Blue Cliff Record, you know, kind of Dharma combat style, and teachers, it seems, putting down other teachers. And anyway, challenging rhetoric. Yuan Wu says that Feng Shui was a venerable adept in the lineage of Linji or Rinzai. He directly used his own provisions. And he gives a longer version of the basic story. He says, if you set up a single atom of dust, the nation flourishes and the old peasants frown. And then a little further on, he says, when you do not set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes, the wind blows chill. Why did the old peasants come out and sing hallelujah? So There's a kind of funny edge here, because Tom Cleary translates this word as old peasants. So when you set up a single atom of dust, when you establish something, the nation flourishes. And yet, he says, the old peasants furrow their brows, they frown. But that term, old peasants, also can be read as village elders. So to say, call them peasants is sort of, you know, negative and dismissive of them. But actually, you know, another way to read this, if you set up a single atom of dust, the nation flourishes, and the elders frown. What, you're going to do something new? It's not the way. It's not our tradition. And also, when you do not set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes. The wind blows chill. Why do the old peasants, or you could say, why do the elders come out and celebrate and sing hallelujah? So there's this edge here. What are we going to do? And of course, we've already set up more than an atom of dust. We have a whole room full of sabutons and zafus and Buddha images on the altar. So, you know, this story is about Sangha in a way, in a number of ways. But it also is about each of us. So I'll talk more about how it's about Sangha together and what we do. But it's also, you know, what are you going to do in your life? Are you going to set up an atom of dust? Are you going to take on something? Are you going to do something new? Are you going to occupy your life? Well, the village elders and the old peasants may frown. What are you doing? The other side is, if you don't set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes. Well, maybe that's not so bad. Let things fall apart. Sometimes there's a time for that, maybe. And some nations and some ruling bodies, when they perish, many people might celebrate. You've seen that in not so distant past. Egypt recently, for example. So how are we going? What are we going to do with our life? Are we going to set up something? Are we going to let things fall apart a little? And is there a time for each? And, you know, these are questions. How are you going to take care of your life? Are you going to set up a single atom of dust? Yuanru says about that, the meaning lies in the fact that to establish a nation and stabilize the country, it's necessary to rely on crafty ministers and valiant generals. A little dangerous. But who knows, maybe is that a good thing? After that, the unicorn appears, the phoenix soars. These are the auspicious signs of great peace. So, again, what is it we are going to do with our practice and with our life? When you do not set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes, the winds blow chill, and the old peasants or the village elders come out and sing hooray, just because the nation has perished. And then, you know, so Yuanwu was a great Rinzai master, but then he says in the Soto lineage, they call this the point of transformation. There's no more Buddha nor sentient beings, no affirmation, no negation, no good, no bad. It is beyond sound and echo, track or trace. That is why it is said, although gold dust is precious, in the eye it obstructs vision. So sometimes trying to set up something gets in the way of just enjoying our life, taking another breath. How do we find the balance place here? In the verse comment, it clearly takes the side of establishing something. And, you know, we're doing that here. But there's a caution about this. So I talked about this a few years ago when we just were starting to establish this place. And yet, setting up a single atom of dust is not something that you do once, and then it sort of rolls along on its own. Well, I don't know, maybe there are types like that, but how do you establish your practice? How do we come to join together as Sangha? This is not something that, you know, or how do you realize great awakening? This is not something that happens just once. How do we continue sustaining that atom of dust? And then Yuanwu goes on to say, piercing and penetrating supernatural powers and their wondrous action would not be considered exceptional. And then he quotes something you may recognize. When he gets here, with his patched robe covering his head, myriad concerns cease. At this time, the mountain monk does not understand anything at all. So this is a translation of a couple of lines of the Song of the Grass that we just chanted. Arriving here, cover. This is Cleary's translation. I forget mine. Excuse me. It's in here, right here somewhere. Oh, it's earlier than this. Here we go. Yeah, so just sitting with head covered, all things are at rest. Thus this mountain monk doesn't understand at all. Myriad concerns cease, he says, all things are at rest. So this idea of head covered, or the patched robe covering his head, one way to hear that is a reference to Bodhidharma sitting in his cave in northern China, and there's pictures of him with a quilt over his head. So it was very cold in that cave in northern China. And Bodhidharma hesitated to set up a single atom of dust. He left the emperor in southern China. He went up and sat in a cave, and yet people found him, and so he caused a lot of trouble. And here we are. So, piercing and penetrating spiritual powers and their wondrous action would not be considered exceptional. When we get here with patched robe covering the head, myriad concerns cease. All things are at rest. At this time, the mountain monk doesn't understand at all. This is the side of no mind, no Buddha. Not setting up a single atom of dust. There's also the side of this very mind is Buddha, and here we are, and we take on this practice. And Yuanwu goes on to say, if one were to speak any more of mind, speak of nature, referring to Buddha nature, speak of the profound, speak of the wondrous, it would not be any use at all. No need to set up anything. It's all extra. You don't need Buddha. You've got your own life. And yet, do you really realize it? He says, it would not be any use at all. What's the reason? She has her own mountain spirit realm. So this is one of my favorite Zen lines in all Zen texts. He has his own mountain spirit realm, or she has her own mountain spirit realm. Of course, that, you know, maybe works better in China and Japan and California. Here we could say he has his own prairie spirit realm. She has her own Great Lake spirit realm. So each of you has your own spirit realm. Do you know it? Can you feel it? Can you say it? Can you occupy your own realm? some important way, this is what this practice is about. Before you ever started sitting zazen, you have your own spirit realm. But we do this practice so that we can fully enjoy our own spirit realm, our pasture spirit realm, or our skyscraper spirit realm, if you work down in the loop anyway. Here we are. So, do we set up a single atom of dust or not? Well, here we've of course already, you know, set up more than one atom of dust. Here we are, sitting together on a Monday night, a full zendo, chanting the village songs. So this isn't about understanding something. People hear these stories and think they have to figure them out. The point of this story is this mountain monk or this Great Lake monk doesn't understand at all. This isn't about something that we figure out, but this is about, okay, don't just sit there, do something. Set up, when he says an atom of dust, he can refer to whole edifices. The Sears Tower, let's set that up. Or, do you not set up anything? Can you actually just practice your life and occupy your life in your own Great Lake Spirit realm? Well, all of us are here because we find it helpful to set up something. And the point of this practice that we've set up, and the point of this sangha is for each of us to find our own spirit realm, and together, our Sangha spirit realm. And then we have to keep checking back. Oh, do we want to set this up or not? Or how are we doing it? How's it going? So there's this other part of the story which Shweta commented, which I'll come back to when there's more of the commentary. He raised his staff and said, are there any Zen practitioners who will live together and die together? And in the text, literally, it says patch road monks. And maybe that's relevant if you're talking in this context of a monastic situation or a residential situation. And then there, you know, one might hear it quite literally. Can we practice together and live together and die together? Really live together. Really die together. So, if we practice together long enough, some of us will pass away. That's the natural order of things. So, I don't know how many of you here remember Casimir. I was a member of our Sangha and a member of our board for a while. And before we moved here in the Seneca, he just got sick in February. He didn't dress warmly enough, got pneumonia. But there's another meaning here, I think. And I think particularly for us as a lay sangha, you know, this is not a residential, formal place with, you know, a full schedule. And yet we come together and sit together. What does it mean to live together and die together? Well, we also have people who've been regular practitioners who moved away. This is natural. Amina moved away. David recently moved to Denver. People come and go. Some of you have been here and then left for a little while and come back. That's great. So I don't know that we have to take this so literally, but what would it mean for us as Zen people to live together and die together? Can you, whether you're here at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate or practicing somewhere else at a distance, can you live and die together with this practice, with this intention to occupy your own lake spirit realm or mountain spirit realm? Can you find your true life, your true heart? And does that mean setting up something? Well, you know, the tradition leans towards that, you know. Here we are, you know. You have to, all of the forms of our practice, all of the forms of the Zendo are about setting up something through which we can see our own spirit realm. And yet sometimes there's a time to let it all go. Nations flourish and then they perish. This is the natural order of things. Sometimes they perish when they try and occupy Afghanistan. And nations have perished that way. Can we live together and die together? And, you know, when you establish a new practice place, and when you try something a little bit new, because American Zen is all of it's new. Each of the different places where there is Zen practice in America, it's a little different. We have a tradition we're connected to and a lineage we're connected to. A pretty strong connection. But still, you know, what are they doing there in Chicago? In a storefront in the middle of north central Chicago. What kind of practice is that? Yeah, so the elders may frown. And here we are, occupying our own Sangha spirit realm. Well, the end of Yuan Wu's commentary refers to Nanchuan, a great teacher who once said, "Everyday mind is the way." Some of you know that story. One time he commented about the six ancestor. He said, "The 700 eminent monks on Huangmei, where the fifth ancestor taught, were all people who understood the Buddha Dharma, but they didn't get his robe and bowl. There was only Workman Lu, Pinang, the sixth ancestor, who did not understand the Buddha Dharma. That's why he got his robe and bowl. This mountain monk doesn't understand at all." Now, many of you in this room understand a whole lot of different things and have a lot of knowledge, and many very well-educated and well-trained and very bright people in this room. You all know a lot, all of you. And yet there's something you don't understand. Can you establish that which you don't understand? Can you occupy the spirit realm of that which you don't understand? This is our tradition. Nanchuan another time also said, "The Buddhas of the past, present, and future do not know what is. Cats and cows do know what it is." So lots of ways to take this. I mean, many stories about cats. Cats can be very mysterious and wise animals. And there are many stories about oxen, cows. And maybe they know it because they don't have all of this language troubling them. He goes on to say, "The old peasants either frown or sing, but tell me, how will you understand?" So, Yuan Wu finally comments, Shuedo, having raised both sides, finally lifts up his staff and says, "Are there any Zen practitioners who will live together and die together. And Yuanwu says, at that time, if there had been a fellow who could come forth and utter a phrase, alternately acting as guest and host, he would have avoided this old fellow Shuezhou's pointing to himself in the end. Anyway, here we are. Can we live together and die together? Can we live together and die together? No, tonight, this week. Can we actually take on inhaling and exhaling together? The same air, the same space. And, you know, maybe it's just okay to establish a, set up an atom and let the nation flourish. And maybe it's fine to not establish an atom of dust and let the nation perish. But how do we do that to support this Great Lake Spirit realm? So we do that together, and because of the nature of the Sangha, where each of us is also going out and involving many other Sanghas, many other communities anyway, out there in that strange realm called Chicago, how do we take on? Setting up an atom of dust or not setting up an atom of dust. So I think there's a lot more to say about this story, but I'm going to just not set up anything else. Does anyone have any comment or question or response to any part of it? There's a lot of different parts of the story in the commentary, but Douglas?
I mean, you've all spoken frequently about how there are different ways to look at koans, and one way is sort of meditation by your approaches to meditation. And I think it's one way to look at it from that aspect is to see creating the mote of dust as an example of even the smallest bit of self-cleaning or preoccupation with the self. As soon as that happens, the entire world springs up, because then everything around us is separate from us and something that can hurt us or has hurt us or something that we want. And when we step outside of that, it disappears again, so the whole nation has perished. But I think that the response...
Good, I like that. Very good.
I think the response, though, we're raising the staff and saying, is there a really shamed, whatever, open monks who live and die together, it's sort of a rejection of that as alternatives. Saying, look, we don't either live just as individuals, or maybe we don't live in emptiness. We have to live and die back and forth, back and forth. That's how we live, and that's, it's not things, it's not it, it's things, it becomes, and life is things as it is. We step out of both of those alternatives as we live.
Yeah, good. I like seeing this as aspects of meditation. I like your comment about it, seeing it as establishing self, or clinging to self, or letting go of self. That's in there too. Yeah, good. So, any other comments on Douglas's comment or on the case itself? Keizan.
I just want to ask, it just begs the question, how does one know what's appropriate to set up the atom or to not set up the atom?
Right, how do you know? So, yeah, once the student asked the great teacher Yunmen, what is the teaching of the Buddha's whole lifetime? And Yunmen simply said, an appropriate statement. And I would suggest, if you can occupy your Great Lake Spirit realm, you don't have to think about it. Hey, Nathan.
Hey. One thing I thing that strikes me about the story is that an atom of dust seems like something really, really small.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it just strikes me that it seems to be saying something about how consequential very small things are.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's making a mountain out of a molehill. But also, part of our tradition is looking at the details. Taking care of the details. Small things can make a big difference. Daniel.
Well, the minutest atom of dust is, of course, attached to every other of the minutest atoms of dust that pretty much hold up the whole universe.
Yes.
Presumably the smallest atom of dust is at the forefront of, you know, the rush of the greatest idea and the feeling as well. That was kind of my association from what you just saying.
Yeah. So like Indra's net, each atom of dust reflects all the others. Start something and then all kinds of things come up. Yes, Don?
I was thinking about the book, or movie, I think it is, to Horton Hears a Who, with the small, minute, you know, dust piece, you know.
Who?
Whoville. And so this whole world is on this thing, and I thought that was really cool. I liked that a lot, and I think that really impacted. Like, you have to think of something. I guess I was going off of Nathan, what Nathan was saying, was something that means so small, and like what would there really could be on that? That there's potential for something huge, and been paying attention to all those.
Yeah. So there is that. That's part of the story, that small things can have large effects. Jeremy.
I heard the Bodhisattva path in that story.
Good, where?
To make it short, I think his call to live and die together is very beautiful with the Bodhisattva path. And I feel like we can kind of make a vow to live and die together with all beings.
Good. Or maybe to die and be reborn together with all beings. Yeah, so, you know, what Douglas was saying about self-clinging and letting go of self is, you know, how do we see connection? If you have your own great lake spirit realm, and there's this comment, he has his own mountain spirit realm, are there other beings there? Your own spirit realm separate? Remember, although the hut is small, it includes the entire world. Can we share our own Great Lake Spirit Realm? Maybe we each sit at a different part of this Great Lake Spirit Realm. But when we set up something like this, here we are, sharing this. Actually, this is a mountain spirit realm. Buddha is sitting on a Sumeru pedestal. Kazon constructed that. That represents Mount Sumeru. So we're all sitting around the mountain at the center of the world, at the top of which is Buddha, which is not separate from all of us. It's just one story about it. Hey, Ben.
Hi, I'm maybe this is sort of a tangential question. I'm wondering a little bit about the original term that clearly, clearly translated as nation. Because that's a particular connotation, I think, for me anyway. Did he mean a political entity? Did he mean a community of people, a territory?
That's a really good question. I don't have the Chinese characters with me, but I can imagine it in this context, it referring to just the country, the land, and its people. But it also, in the context of Chinese, Confucian culture, could refer to the nation, the emperor, and the dynasty that was represented by it. So that's in there.
And part of what I'm maybe getting a little hung up on is, I just got back from El Salvador, where a lot of people tried to send up a lot of atoms of dust that the nation did not want them to send up, that our nation did not want them to send up. They suffered a lot for that, and did it despite the nation not wanting them to do that.
The elders frowned and came down on them, huh?
The elders came down pretty hard with our tax dollars.
Yeah.
So. I'm just a little curious about that larger, relationship of institutions and the atoms of dust that we might be able to set up or not set up.
I think in the story, both are there. This land is your land, and this land is my land. And yet also, there are ruling powers and a formal institutional nation. All of that's involved. Or we can take it, either way. That's part of the richness of these stories, is it's not, there are lineages where they do koans where there's one right answer, and I just don't think that's, I think that's pretty shallow. So anything you say about these stories is part of what the story's about.